At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is Good Together, the podcast that inspires you to create change in the world every day. I'm your host, Laura Alexander Wittig, CEO and founder of Brightly, the number one destination for conscious consumers around the world. At Good Together, we value the planet over perfection and believe that you can make positive things happen for the planet every day by being a conscious consumer and an informed citizen. Listen in as I chat with various experts about living and consuming responsibly. Together, listeners, I am so excited to be talking to Sharona Schneider today. She is an amazing person. We are fabulously excited to have on the podcast after learning about her initiative, Tuesdays for Trash. Sharona, I wonder if you could say hi and introduce yourself to the audience.
Hi, Laura, and thanks for the intro. It's so great to be here. My name, like you said, is Sharona Schneider, and I'm a Nigerian Israeli environmental activist and founder of the global movement Tuesdays for Trash, which encourages people around the world to dedicate at least one day a week for the planet by picking up trash. And the whole reason that I started this movement with a friend of mine is to encourage people to see how easy it is to like make an individual action into a global action, because a lot of people are under the impression that like little actions won't make a difference in the very intimidating fight that is climate change. But I think it's really important to see the power that we have as individuals. And so we've been able to showcase this by starting the movement with just two people and creating it into a global initiative. And it's just been really fun to do. So thank you so much for having me. And I'm really excited to be talking about everything today.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is such a big core theme to this podcast, which is talking about how our daily actions do add up and they do matter. If you're a regular listener of this podcast, you've heard me say this a lot, but that doesn't mean that we don't need to hold our governments and organizations responsible. Like, we do still need to do our research, make sure we're petitioning and electing people that are, putting the climate first. That being said, really similar to what you just said, Sharona, is like, we do also want to empower people to make sure they feel like they are making a difference in their daily life. So tell me a little bit about what Tuesdays for Trash is and really how you got it started.
So it's a global grassroots movement. And really what we're trying to do is to make it visible, like the waste management issue that we're seeing around the world, because trash is a global issue. It's found on every part of the planet, like whether it's in the deepest part of the oceans or the top of like Mount Everest, you're going to find litter, especially plastic. And we really want to showcase not only the problem, but how easy it is to be part of the solution by encouraging individuals to realize like the impact that their actions can have. not only on the local level, but internationally, because our movement, we have 11 chapters now with people in 31 countries and over 23,000 pounds of trash picked up in just 2 years. And it simply started with two people deciding to care. And it was really during the pandemic, a friend of mine and I were looking for ways to get back into the community and the environment when lockdown happened. And we needed a good excuse to do that. And so we were like, why don't we go pick up trash at our university? No one's going to tell us to go back inside. We can socially distance. It'll be fun. And to our surprise, not only was it really fun, it was really fulfilling and therapeutic and also exercise, because you're like bending down, picking up the trash and everything.
Yes.
So it was just like all around a really awesome way to be outside and also feel like we were making a difference. And so we're like, why don't we encourage people to keep doing this with us? And why don't we do this every week? Because it just, we had nothing else to do. It was like a really great excuse. And we found that a lot of people around the world were also looking for an excuse to get outside. And so that's how the movement kind of skyrocketed. The whole idea really is to show that like, behavioral changes are really important, especially at the individual level, in order to create actions that can become collective actions. Because at the end of the day, collective actions are made up of individual actions. And people forget that a lot of the time, especially when it comes to climate change, because it seemed like all of a sudden we were in this crisis and emergency and like everything is so intimidating and no one really knows where to start. But it can be as simple as just picking up one piece of trash.
Absolutely. So set the scene a little bit for me. So you said you started off the movement with just you and a friend. So I know from our notes that you were at PSU in Portland. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so is it where the movement started?
Yeah, it began in Portland, Oregon, at Portland State University's Park Box. And really now we have people all around the world that are joining us, which is really incredible to see. Sometimes sad, because there are a lot of places where you think there wouldn't be trash and there actually is a lot of it. So yeah, that's how I, that's a little bit of the scene. And Portland was a really great place to start as well, because the community, it's like very known as sort of a green city. Not that it necessarily is, in my opinion, but we like to broadcast to the world that that is, you know, the general vibe of Portland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally know what you mean. I'm in Seattle and I've been to Portland many times. And yeah, I mean, it is interesting when there's like a perceived, you know, I guess, you know, this perception that people have of these areas of the of the world, and they're like so green, etc. But I would imagine, like, if you were to go to like a small European country, they're probably kicking our tail in terms of a lot of
these
initiatives.
Sweden, like Finland, all those places for sure.
Yeah. And so you started that first thing with a friend, and then the next time what happened? Like, how did you get the word out to people? Was there like an Instagram account or a WhatsApp chat? Like, how did you guys spread the word about like the next pickup?
Yeah, me being me, I immediately started a Google Doc. I like wanted to get all the idea out there, like the messaging, the purpose, how we were going to structure this. I got my degree in accounting, so I'm just a very like detail oriented, like organized person. And so once I did that, I kind of realized like the easiest way we were going to get the word out was by posting about it on social media and texting our friends directly. And my friend Wanda and I, we had a lot of friends internationally. So we just kind of like messaged them like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? Can you pick up trash? And like tag hashtag Tuesdays for Trash, so that we can get people like to not only spread awareness about it, but also encourage like their family and their friends to get outside and do the same. And that's really how it took off. Like, we made one TikTok video of all of our friends from around the world, like picking up trash. That's kind of really what like not only brought everyone together, but also kind of launched the messaging of Tuesdays for Trash, which our slogan is small acts of change when multiplied can transform the world.
Oh, I love it. I mean, for me, it's not only is it it's something that started from, you know, a point of personal passion, but it's something that's really been able to take on a life of its own, because people are also sharing the same passion. So it's super cool. And I guess kind of like even setting the stage further, thinking more about the waste problem. I mean, so before we did this episode, we did a little bit of research, right? And I mean, in terms of how much waste is littered every day by every person, it's just, it's phenomenal. And as a matter of fact, like if you really want to, listeners, like this weekend, I kind of went through and did this mental exercise, which is like, take a trash bag, an empty one, set it aside and then mentally say, I'm going to measure, not like, you know, scientifically, but with my eyeballs, how much waste I'm going to generate over a weekend, right? Like, I feel like during the weekends, we're like hosting people, we're like doing more things than the week. But I was just like flabbergasted to see how much trash my family was producing. So I feel like that's like a really good way for you to visualize things. But in general, in the United States, according to the EPA, back in 2018, so this is a pretty old statistic, but it's the one we could find, the average person generated about 5 pounds of trash every single day, which is pretty crazy. And
big yikes.
A big yikes. And, you know, of trash, they're calling it municipal solid waste. So they're saying of the municipal solid waste that was generated, approximately 69 million tons were recycled and 25 million tons were composted. But that only equaled about 30% of the overall trash. So like they are counting things that could be recycled and composted in that figure. But it's pretty fascinating to me to see like, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's one of those things, as much as we'd like to cut down our trash, it's so hard, right?
Yeah, and it's really difficult to do in certain societies as well, in countries where plastic is like the main form of material because it's the cheapest to find and use. And that's why we have to make it more accessible to access alternatives that are more sustainable and better for the environment. Like something like styrofoam, I don't think that should be a material that we use anymore at all.
It should be illegal.
It should be illegal. There's no reason for styrofoam. And it's one of the worst forms of litter and trash you can find. Like it's just incredibly difficult to break down. It doesn't break down for like, as a matter of fact. And like even with recycling, it's so sad to me how many people think recycling is going to save the planet, because in reality, I don't know if you know the statistic that 90% of things that get recycled don't actually get recycled. Like they just throw it back in the landfill because the systems are outdated. They're like 10 years outdated. And in order for things to be recycled, there has to be a market of manufacturers ready to purchase the recycled material. But the reality is it's cheaper to buy virgin plastic and it's more durable. So there's no reason or incentive for manufacturers to buy recycled material.
Yeah. I mean, the recycling problem, we've talked about it a lot on this podcast, and I feel like there's so many facets here. But so when we think about conscious consumerism, how we can all play a role in this, number one, like we can reduce our consumption of single-use plastic that we're talking about. But like we also just talked about, it can be really difficult when you don't have the option to not do that, right? Like if you need to purchase something and it's got plastic around it, and you're not able to have an alternative, then you have to purchase it. And so number one, you're right. Like we need to have a better supply chain in place to allow businesses to consume more of this recycled waste. And in order to do that, consumers actually need to be demanding from corporations. Yeah. Like we want to see items made of post-consumer recycled plastic. Like every single thing needs to be thought about from this perspective, because I mean, there's just so many things that need to happen. But in my mind, we as consumers can start to say, you know what, like, I don't want to see another, workout legging produced until it's using recycled plastic, right? Yeah. Recycled material. And of course, listeners, we know recycled material, especially in textiles, is not perfect. There's still the problem of microplastics and shedding. And so, you know, that is, you know, an entirely separate issue, unfortunately. But I do think in general, the more we can push corporations to understand that they need to be looking into this further and then creating that market, the better, right?
Yeah, and I think it's really important to show consumers how much power they have, because like really the entire industry depends on the consumer. Like it's not up to the manufacturer to decide how much money they're going to make. It's up to you to decide how much you're going to purchase and if you're going to support what they're doing. And so that's why like the movement is trying to create a community of people who are a little mini activists in their like environment and their spaces and like with the companies that they buy and support, because what we found is like the more you pick up trash, the more you notice how much trash there is and the companies that are littering and the material that is being littered, and it makes you really, really angry. And I found that like you can turn that anger into action by demanding better, by like bringing awareness to the companies, tagging them in your post, like, look, Coca-Cola, I found this bottle again, like I found this from like back in 2016, like this is a problem, stop greenwashing and start changing, you know?
Like
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, it also brings to mind the impact of reusables. So mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have heard about, you know, bringing your own water bottle around or bringing your own coffee cup. And like, I think some people try that out and then they get tired of it, right? Because it's kind of hard to clean it all the time or whatever. But mm-hmm. knowing that, you know, by using something like that, you are not contributing to another, you know, another bottle being thrown on the ground. I mean, even if, let's say you'd put in your own recycling bin, well, what if, you know, something happens and your, you know, bag gets blown around and then it ends up in the space. So, I mean, in general, I think we can be okay with our reusables, right? Like we shouldn't be over it, right?
Yeah.
We shouldn't be over it. We should just keep up the work.
Yeah. And I know it's hard, but I think that's the importance of having a community, because once you have people around you doing the same thing, then you feel not only empowered, but also like supported in that. And like, you can lean on other people, like when it gets difficult, or if you need more inspiration, like a reminder, oh yeah, I do have a reusable cup, like, because my friend brought hers to coffee today. Like, I don't, like, I should have brought mine, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that it's also really important as like a little mini habit to start forming bigger habits of change, because if we can do the little things, then we can accomplish like really, really big changes.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when people are engaging with Tuesdays for Trash, you know, and you're seeing people send in their reports or tagging on social media or whatever, like what are the spaces that people are seeing the most litter happening? Like where is that happening?
Obviously at the beach, I think that's the number one place that we see the most litter, because it gets washed to sea. And it's also a place that we feel the most hurt by the litter, because we know the direct impact it's having on the ecosystem. Like we're seeing like the fish choking on the plastic. You're lounging on the beach and you see the trash and it makes you uncomfortable. It's not a happy like sight to see. But it's also on trails. It's in like streets. It's in our backyards. It's everywhere. There's not a place on earth where there isn't trash, even at a micro level. And so it's just become like a very, very prevalent issue for a lot of areas and people who are starting to notice.
Absolutely. And so in your opinion, you know, what about, you know, what can people do if they don't live by a beach? Or like, actually, I was going to ask you too, when you are on campus, like, mm-hmm. you know, as a student, you only have so much control over like the waste generated by your school. So like, what mm-hmm. about people who are asking about those kind of situations?
So if you're not by a beach, there's definitely trash in other places, whether it's like in your neighborhood or on like your way to work, you're going to see trash if you look for it. I think it's something that we've become very accustomed to ignoring because no one wants to notice how much trash there is, because if you do, it's very overwhelming. But in that sense, like it is also overwhelming, the problem and the causes of the problem, like the institutions, the government, the lack of municipality support. But I think that the easiest way to tackle that is to talk about the problem, number one, start like making it a known thing, and then doing your part on an individual level, because you're going to find that it's not only really like fulfilling and rewarding, but it's also a really important way to start taking control of the problem by doing action and taking action yourself. And you're going to start to notice how many people around you like also believe in the fact of like they can do something and you're doing it. So it encourages them to do something as well. And it becomes a community thing. And community is super important in the climate justice movement in general, but also especially when we're talking about waste management, because communities are what leads to like really important changes on a local level. And I think that's the best way to start tackling the problem, start talking about it and take little actions to build into bigger ones.
Yeah. And on that topic, I know, you know, specifically in what you just said, but also at Tuesdays for Trash, you really encourage people to just simply share their actions on social media. So can you share a little bit about like why that's important?
Yeah, I think it's the main reason it's important is because it shows people that you're part of this like community of people that care, because I think we're always scared what other people in our circles are going to think, like if they're going to agree, if they're going to judge you, if they're going to think that it's embarrassing, because picking up trash has become such a taboo in our society because it's used as an act of service for people who like commit crimes or things like that. But what we're trying to change is the narrative that like picking up trash is something you do for like a punishment. It's something you do out of respect and like care and empathy, and knowing like grander scale, that you're doing this for a future. You're doing this to have a clean community that's going to help with the health of your community, because trash brings diseases into environments and ecosystems. It allows for like different rodents and flies to like get in and then cause issues that we don't even foresee most of the time. And I think that it's just really an important step because it's an easy step. Sharing on your social media takes 1 second, and you're posting on there anyways. So I think it kind of breaks up the mundane between like the avocado toast and the concert videos by showing something that's like really important that's happening directly in the community, something everyone can be a part of, and bringing a topic to the front. How do you say that? It's making it
forefront. You did it.
To the forefront. That's exactly what I was looking for. It's bringing the topic to the forefront so people can start talking about it, and know that other people are also in support of this agenda.
Absolutely. And I wonder if you could, you know, if now I'm going to put you on the spot, you may or may not have one, but I was curious to know, like, do you have a story or like an anecdote you could share with the audience about like an impactful pickup? Like, has anybody discovered anything while they were, you know, doing a pickup, or maybe it's just kind of like a general sentiment?
There was one moment where I had been picking up trash in my neighborhood. This was like very early in the Tuesdays for Trash movement. And I noticed the label had the logo of like a local dentist shop. And I somehow found the dentist shop on Instagram. And I decided to tag them. And I was like, this is just really disappointing. Like, these are things that we don't even need to like be marketing to people. Like, why do you need to get chapstick at your dentist office? And why does it need to be like labeled like and in plastic, whatever? So I tagged them and I mentioned it, and they were so embarrassed, and they felt so terrible about it. And like, they actually responded and were like, we're gonna start changing this, because you're right, like it doesn't have to be this way, and we can like use alternatives that are more sustainable. Thank you for like bringing it to our attention, because otherwise we wouldn't have known and we wouldn't have thought about it, because it's so easy to see everyone else like marketing on chapstick and think, oh, we should market on chapstick as well, but then you don't really think about the environmental impact. And I think that's what we really have to start doing collectively as a society, is making every decision with the environment in mind, because when you start to do that, you start realizing like all the little ways you can not only like cut down but also benefit the environment.
And so when you had that dialogue with that dentist, you know, how did you do it? Because I feel like there's often a culture lately where, you know, people will come out and be like super, super angry at corporations or businesses. And, you know, then they get their friends, everybody kind of piles on, and it turns into a situation where I think the business kind of just like gets overwhelmed, and they'll like turn off comments, they'll kind of retreat, and then they'll come back and post like a really long like apology. And then I feel like those kind of situations actually don't really result in any kind of change, because they get so scared and they're just like paralyzed. So like, how did you do that? Like, were you like, you know, firm but also like understanding, or like how did you engage with them?
Yeah, so I think my first approach was, when I posted on my social media, like I intentionally made it connect to me. I was like, this is something that I found in my community. It makes me really sad to see like my environment littered by this company. And so it wasn't necessarily that I was talking or like talking trash about them, but it was more so I was like saying how much it hurt me to see it there. And I think that automatically like put them on an empathy level with me. Like they could sympathize, they could understand where I was coming from. And when they like responded, I suggested to them like in a kind way, like, you know, you guys could be using alternatives and you don't need to like market on these items. I think that you could do better. So not necessarily attacking them, because attacking never works. Like, you have to be very constructive in the way that you provide feedback and like reach out to these people. So the first thing is like showing them why it impacts you on a personal level, and then giving them constructive like next steps on how they could change. And I think also like another anecdote is, I used to babysit this girl, this little girl in Oregon, and, she, just by talking about this issue in a way that like she could connect to, like whenever we would see trash, I'd be like, oh, this is awful. Like, this is your favorite place to play, and we're seeing plastic bottles. Like, how does that make you feel? And she's like, I don't like that. Like, I like my places to be like natural and clean, and it makes me sad. And literally after that day, I'm not even joking, she started asking me to go on trash hunts. She's like, Sharon, can we go and pick up trash today so that we can keep like the community clean? And she started roping in her neighborhood like friend to do it. And like literally that's just how it starts. You start realizing how it impacts you personally on a level that like actually you can connect to, and it makes you more empowered and excited and driven to tackle the problem.
That's so cool. I love that story. And yeah, I mean, I do think there is room for everybody in the conversation. So I think it makes total sense to approach it like you did. So, you know, for people listening, I mean, I know how many groups are in Tuesdays for Trash? I mean, I know thousands of people have participated. Like, I mean, if somebody's listening, like, how do they get involved?
It is so easy to get involved. All we ask is that you see trash, which you probably will every day, and you make the active decision to pick it up and share it on social media, tagging hashtag Tuesdays for Trash to encourage others. And it could really be as simple as one piece of trash, because if everyone on the planet picked up one piece of trash, that'd be are we at 9 billion people now? 7 billion at least pieces of trash. Off the ground, out of our waterways, out of our natural areas, and encouraging more awareness about the problem, which usually leads to reducing waste, which at the end of the day is what we need to do. So getting involved is just as simple as picking up trash and tagging us. But we also encourage people who are interested in starting chapters to email us at tuesdaysfortrash@gmail.org. But yeah, because it's really easy to be a local hero in your community through the action of Tuesdays for Trash.
That's awesome. And I love it. Like, yeah, you can potentially join something a little bit more organized or start a chapter in your area, but you can also just get involved. And it's like a really, there's basically no barrier to entry.
There's no barrier.
Pick up a piece of trash and post about it on social media. So that's awesome. This has been a great conversation. I really enjoy like your approach to, you know, empowering people to take, an action every single day. So we typically like to end our episodes asking our guests the same question, which is, you know, what is exciting you the most about the ethical and sustainable lifestyle movement happening right now?
I think the most exciting part is community, because being able to bring so many people from around the world together for a common cause is really unifying. And it's also just such a learning experience. And I'm someone who loves to experience new cultures, travel, and like see the world for what it is, like this beautiful natural place with so many different facets to it. And so I really love like programs that are allowing, especially youth, to have these experiences. Like when I moved to Israel. I currently am based in Tel Aviv, and I came on this program called Masa, and they bring people from all around the world to Israel to pursue something that they're passionate about. So my passion was environmentalism, and they were able to find me an internship in the industry that not only integrated me, but also provided a community of people that like supported my initiative. And I was one of like the groups that I did my first big cleanup in Tel Aviv with, which was just super encouraging and also like really incredible to see that like this climate movement, this fight for like a sustainable future, was something that I could bring people together on to have fun, to conversate, and also to feel like there are other people like us who cared and were doing something about it.
That's so cool. Well, I just thank you so much, Sharon. We really appreciate it. Listeners, if you'd like to engage with Tuesdays for Trash, we'll include links to everything in our show notes. But of course, you can always find them on social by finding that hashtag, right?
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you, Laura.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Good Together. To get show notes and more, head to brightly.eco/podcast. And as a special thank you to our listeners, use code GOODTOGETHER to get 10% off all products in Brightly's brand new shop full of planet-positive swaps for your home. Finally, don't forget to join in on the conversation with us on social, where I know you can find us at brightly.eco. Don't forget, we're all on this journey together, so have fun putting the planet first and stay curious.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.